everybody. It's Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, let me ask you something. Is Mother Nature playing an April Fool's Day joke on us today? I mean, you've heard of when they say it's a gorgeous day, it's a Chamber of Commerce day. Well, driving in, it was anything but a Chamber of Commerce day. It's a nasty looking day out there.
Wind and dust. The wind is making the difference?
Yeah, the wind up to 40 miles an hour, a very, very unseasonably warm
temperature. Let me see if I can brighten your outlook.
Let's see if you can.
The wind's supposed to reduce to light breezes tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be good.
We're supposed to be in the mid-90s over the weekend, but by Wednesday, we're supposed to be in the mid-80s.
Good.
That's the best I can do for you.
Well, thank you very much. That puts us only about, if it's the mid-80s, only about 10 degrees above the temperature that we should be having. But anyway, Buckmaster, with you on this April 1st, 2021, Thursday afternoon. We're in 11th year already. Where has the time gone? My goodness. Seems like just yesterday we were beginning the radio project in January of 2011, and here we are in 2021. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station we're coming to you on is 10:30. It's Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. We live stream the program from kvoi.com. And then at buckmastershow.com, we have all of the podcasts. Tom Fairbanks, along with my friend Rose Bryant, make sure that the podcasts usually are posted within a couple of hours, Tom's got his fingers crossed, of the conclusion of the program. And then once they're posted, they're in the archive. And that's, we've got over 10 years worth of programming there for you. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's go now on the live line in our conversation today with Pima County Supervisor, Democrat representing the Supervisorial District Number 5, and she is also longtime Tucson Unified School District Board Member, Adelita Grijalva. Adelita, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Bill?
Doing well, thanks for asking. I think we should note right off the bat that we just observed the one-year anniversary of the death of my friend Richard Elias. I still can't believe he's not around. I miss him.
I do too. I miss him a lot. We did just have a private sort of dedication of a really beautiful copper. It's commemorative of him, and it's right under the Pima County seal on the administrative building downtown. So if anyone wants to go by and look at it, it's beautiful. And the family had a really big hand in working with the county to get that established. And so, I can't believe it's been a year. And I think because so much of that year we've been in isolation, we haven't had an opportunity to celebrate his life.
Yeah.
To really, really gather together as a community, that hasn't happened. So it just feels like yesterday.
Don't we have a library now named in Richard's honor?
We do. It's the Richard Elias Mission Library. So it's the one on Mission in Ajo.
Okay, let's turn to the latest with this confusing situation with COVID. You know, Adelita, people, when it comes to this mask issue, it's a mask mess. There you go. I mean, and the governor, he went ahead and pulled all the saying that all of the restrictions are gone. It's created a lot of confusion here in Pima County.
It really has. And I think one of the concerns that I have is he was here at the U of A looking at the pod, the state pod, out of the U of A. He was there for most of the day walking around with President Robbins, had a press conference, never gave any indication at all that that was the direction that he was going in. And the next day it's, you know, I snap my fingers and have declared the pandemic over. And while saying that, acknowledging that we're still not over the pandemic, you know, that COVID is still a risk to many community members. We haven't had an opportunity to vaccinate even half of our population. And while I think that we're doing a good job, really specifically Pima County's doing a great job in reaching out to underserved communities, there's still a lot of people that are having a very hard time accessing that vaccine.
You know, I know the governor has a lot of animosity, I think, to the Democrats that run Pima County and the city of Tucson. But wouldn't you think Governor Ducey and his team, while he was here in town, Adelita, would sit down with Chuck Huckleberry, maybe a couple of board members, and try to see if we can find common ground? Wouldn't that seem like a natural approach to kind of moving both areas forward?
Absolutely. And I definitely, it would be more collegial. It would be an opportunity for us to actually work together. And that was something that I'm hoping that we still have an opportunity to do. Unfortunately, many of the decisions and mandates that he makes come as a surprise to everybody. And this is not just Pima County. We have Supervisor Scott, who is participating in the county administrators coalition. And he says that it's the same concern around the state. Many, many don't understand the rhyme or reason to vaccine distribution. There's not transparency when it comes to the funding that came from the state, that it's supposed to come to the state and then a pass through to our counties and cities. We haven't received a significant amount of that money, and there is no transparency regarding that. And I think that would really help us all to get on the same page. It doesn't do any of us and any community member any good for the state and the governor's office in Pima County to be at odds.
And then this thing over the point of distribution with FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, wanted to work with Pima County and said so in a letter to the board chair, Sharon Bronson. The people at FEMA wanted to set this point of distribution center up. There was resistance from the governor and Dr. Kara Crist. And then it's like it had to, like pulling teeth or something. There had to be, you know, all this blowback from Pima County. And finally, I guess it's been worked out, or has it been worked out?
Well, and basically what the Arizona Department of Health Services authorized FEMA to work directly with Pima County, which is what we needed, as opposed to asking FEMA to work directly with us as the local agency, Pima County. And so, you know, that has the potential to give our community an additional 210 vaccines. That is not part of the state allocation. This is extra and in addition to. And I just cannot understand why the state wouldn't want another FEMA site. They offered another site in Maricopa as well. They offered two here. And I just don't understand the logic as to why, and the justification for not getting more community members vaccinated.
So are we going to get some more vaccine?
Well, we are. We are actually working directly with FEMA. Pima County is working directly with FEMA. And so my hope is that we have an update here pretty soon on the timeline and where specifically FEMA is going to set up their pod.
We've had a lot of we're getting a lot of vaccine, though, into people's arms in Pima County. Let me see if I've got the latest figures. I think over 400,000 vaccine doses have been given across Pima County, and that far surpasses, Adelita Grijalva, the county's goal of 300,000 immunizations by March 31st. So we're doing pretty darn well, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are. Initially, I think the hope was that we would be able to get to, we far exceeded our April goal in the beginning of March. And so it looks like we'll be able to exceed 500,000 doses in April with the federal doses. Right now, the University of Arizona State Pod is providing 4,000 vaccinations per day. And then the total number with the other sites in Pima County, the banner sites, Walgreens, Costco, CVS. I mean, we have a lot of other agencies that are doing the same thing. Pima County has about 8,000 vaccinations per day.
Can we get we get a mobile facility to take vaccine to elderly people and those that don't really have transportation and some of our underserved communities?
That's actually been happening, and that's one of the great things with the direction that the Pima County Health Department is going in, is that we're doing mobile pop-up sites in underserved communities. And so a lot of our homebound community members, older people that have, it's very difficult to get out of their house and then for the first vaccine, let alone come back for the second one. The Pima County Health Department is setting aside the Johnson & Johnson one and done vaccines for those communities. And so I think that we've been doing a really good job of reaching diverse populations and populations that are not right now accessing the vaccine.
All right, Adelita, stick around. I've got some education questions for you. So put your education hat on. After the break, we're going to address a few of the Tucson Unified questions. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Steve and his team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, they're doing just a great job. Find out what the excitement is about, why people are standing in line to go to Mona's. They're doing, well, I'll answer my own question. End the suspense. I'll tell you why they're going to Mona's. They're getting the fabulous pastries, the Danish Kringle. I'm going to use Tom Fairbanks, what he calls the Danish Kringle, and their lovely coffee cakes. Tom calls them light and tasty, and he calls them a multi-layered pastry, and that's about right. These are lovely pastries, and they're open right now. The northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open for lunch and, of course, breakfast. They open the doors at 6:30. The website, you can order your pastries and bread ahead of time at monasdanishbakery.com. Call ahead or just stop by the bakery and really have a treat. You've got a treat in store for you when you go to Mona's. It's Buckmaster. We'll be back on this April 1st. We'll continue our conversation with Pima County Supervisor and longtime Tucson Unified School District Board Member Adelita Grijalva.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With us on the live line, Adelita Grijalva, Democrat District Number 5 on the Pima County Board of Supervisors and longtime member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. We had Layla Counts on the program earlier this week for a few minutes. And then we had Dr. Trujillo yesterday. And what I came away from both of these interviews, Adelita, is really a new spirit at TUSD. There's, thanks to some federal funding, some things are going to be done, including a new ventilation system in every classroom. I mean, things that could not have been done without some federal assistance are going to be done. Very positive.
It is very positive. And I do think and want to thank our congressional representatives because we did work. I mean, we were appealing directly to them because, as I mentioned before, the funding that is coming through the state is not reaching us in a timely manner. So this money that is dedicated directly for school districts has been really instrumental in ensuring that we can provide the supports that you're talking about.
And then there's the free summer school. Dr. Trujillo announced on the program that there will be an announcement, I guess, today or tomorrow for parents about how they can get involved in this. This is a very important item because many students have fallen behind in the virtual environment.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I have three children in three different TUSD schools, and I feel like really it depends on the needs of the child. And some children have not, just this whole online system is frustrating. You know, you can't interact with people in the same way you can in a classroom. I think our teachers have done an amazing job, and I appreciate them more now, even though I appreciated them a lot. I appreciate them more now, having had the opportunity to just, I felt like I've been in a classroom, in a fourth grade classroom, an eighth grade classroom, and a sixth grade classroom, and our teachers are doing amazing things. And so the fact that our children are still connected to school, really that support and the accolades have to go directly to our teachers.
Of your three,
our parents have been doing a good job too.
Of your three, I'm sure they have. I know they have. Mm-hmm. Of the three kids, did a couple of them do better than others in the virtual environment? Because every kid's different, right? Yeah.
Yes, my son, the fourth grader, he does have an amazing teacher, Mrs. Peralta at Carrillo, and he's done really well. She actually sat down with us and showed us the data because he's been at Carrillo since kindergarten, can show us that his patterns are cyclical, where you get right around the third quarter and, you know, he just sort of tunes out and then he'll bump back up. And so his pattern since kindergarten has been very consistent. My daughter has struggled with, you know, initially the volume of work was the same as it was when you were in person. And I think that, you know, some teachers need to remember that this is a really frustrating time for a lot of us. And, you know, sitting in front of the screen for a full school day and then an additional 3 hours at night is it's just too much for anybody. So,
it would be way,
that was very frustrating.
It would be way too much for me, Adelita, I'll tell you, because where I get my energy is with off of people. And if I was just dealing with everybody over over the internet and the screens, I wouldn't want to do it that way. I mean, I can see how some kids are just so anxious. Layla Count said her kids just couldn't wait. They were just so excited to get back to school. And when they came home, they were like kids that had been fully like the Energizer Bunny. They were just all excited.
Yeah. And I've noticed that with my one son who decided to go back on campus. The other two decided to stay home. And so with him, I've noticed a change in his attitude because I think he's just sick of seeing the same four faces. He loves us and all, but at some point you need interaction from other people and he needed it more. And so I have noticed a change, but he's there hybrid. So it's 3 hours a day. And so that can be a little frustrating. Elementary is the full day. So for Layla's children, they have the advantage of being on campus 5 days a week, full days. And I think that that's helping.
Now, you will probably second what Layla said about the board. Now, there was a meeting this week, but generally, because you've been involved with a couple of boards. And this board, according to Layla, everybody seems to at least be on the same page when it comes to professionalism and having goals that seem to match up. The mission seems to be at the front of the class, so to speak.
Yeah, it's a marked difference in just the... There is no animosity. We're all parents in the district. We all appreciate that this is something that that we're an example for the students and staff. And so the way we behave should be, some of those meetings were just so stressful, even just getting ready to go to them. So we had our first in-person meeting, which was still awkward. I feel like I was at a learning lab because we're still using the computer and we're still working through Zoom, but we were physically, in person. We had plexiglass and it was difficult to hear, but I appreciate the very thoughtful questions. There's a lot of really good questions and, it's interesting for me because on one side of, my elected office life at TUSD, I've been there for 19 years and on the Board of Supervisors, I've been there one. And so I can appreciate when new board members are asking, well, why do we do it this way? Because on the Pima County side, I'm asking the same question for different reasons. And so I think that it really has brought me a lot of perspective and to understand that a lot of these questions are just trying to figure out, like, why is it that these systems are set up this way and can we improve on them? And I appreciate that.
One of the things that just jumped out at me from our interview with Dr. Trujillo is that a lot of this deferred maintenance is going now to get done at our schools. The infrastructure, as you know, being on the board 19 years, a lot of our infrastructure in Tucson Unified is quite honestly crumbling. And this is going to give the district a chance to reevaluate really all of the facilities, from buses to classrooms. Everything's gonna get a fresh look.
Yep. No, and I think that a lot of that has to do with the reduction in capital. I mean, it's been a really starvation of our public school systems. And so, when I was in TUSD 30 plus years ago, we were receiving more capital funds than we are now. Our buildings are not newer. They tend to get older. We have some of the most historic buildings in all of Arizona, especially, when it comes to Tucson High and Ross Grouge and Davis. And those schools are over 100 years old. And so when we look at the kinds of needs that they would have versus other districts that are newer, the needs are greater. And so I really would like to see more emphasis on, providing that capital support based on the need and not just a per pupil kind of line item. But it's going to make a huge difference in efficiencies and access.
And these kids that were in many ways robbed of their kind of their senior year, are they going to get some kind of a graduation that will not be virtual?
Right. I know that Dr. Trujillo, they just put out the 2021 graduation. layout. And so I don't know if they're going to come up with, we're going to be looking to individual schools to come up with something. I haven't heard any information about that, nor have we officially dedicated a date, because this last graduation, last year's graduation, I think they were trying to stagger the graduation so people could participate in more than one or watch them. I know that they'll at least, will at least have the opportunity for parents and loved ones, four per graduate, to be there to cheer them on. And so
yeah,
that's going to be great.
That's important. They need some personal contact, to say the least. Adelita, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much, Adelita Grijalva, board member of the Pima County Supervisors and Tucson Unified. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Adelita Grijalva with us in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Have you been to Green Things lately? This is the time to do it. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. They're open daily. Their address is 3384 East River Road. It's a beautiful location over by the Rito River, and they also have Zocalo Village. So when you're getting your plants, stop by Zocalo Village. Check out some of the amazing antiques, fine arts, handmade furniture, lighting, home accessories, and more. The websites, here you go, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Dr. David Levy is next on the Buckmaster Show.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of our program presented by our friends in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and they are anxious with open arms to welcome Southern Arizonans back to their lovely part of the land of enchantment now that New Mexico has dropped its restrictions on out-of-state visitors. So it'll be a great time to take a look at their website, start your planning, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find and be tempted by all sorts of great activities like hiking in a very greened up Gila National Wilderness, where, by the way, it's a lot cooler than it is here in Tucson because of the elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Also some great places to stay. I'm so glad Silver City and Grant County is back with tourism again. Let's go now on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management to Vail, Arizona, and the observatory of Dr. David Levy, our contributor on science and former science editor of Parade Magazine. He heads up and is the founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Dr. David Levy is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history. He's got 23 notches on his belt. 23 comets, including his co-discovery of Shoemaker-Levy 9. That's the comet that collided with Jupiter back in 1994 and to this day has produced the most spectacular explosions ever witnessed in the solar system. He's an Emmy Award-winning writer, author, and editor of 35 books and other products. Dr. Levy, I presume, how are you?
Hello there, Bill. It's good to speak to you. To speak with you today, and when you say an Emmy Award-winning writer, but then I look at all the writing I've done, and I say, yeah, but is it any good?
Oh, boy.
We got our second COVID shot yesterday.
Good, good.
And we died.
So, any reaction?
Yeah, we're, I am having a very sore left arm, and Wendy has an even sore left arm. She had to sleep in a chair last night.
I know I had what they call, David, a very robust reaction to that second Moderna shot. I was kind of ailing for about 48 hours, but I'll tell you, it sure beats the alternative.
I think it does. Well, we're now ready to party.
There so. You go. And by the way, happy joyous Passover season.
Thank you.
To you.
Thank you.
We have Easter and Passover a week coinciding this year. Let me ask you, has your Jewishness affected your observing in any way and vice versa?
Very, very much. In fact, every year at the Passover Seder, there is a passage from Chronicles that we read and that says that apparently King David decided to order an ill-advised census, and the Lord sent a sword over Jerusalem with a tail hanging over Jerusalem, and that was kind of an interesting thing. My Jewishness goes back to when I was a child, walking back from synagogue on Yom Kippur, the Kol Nidre night. I was looking up at the night sky, and I noticed the 10-day-old moon, and I'm interested to see it, and I saw the moon looking so beautiful in the autumn sky, and I thought people all over the world are looking at that same 10-day-old moon. And then the thought hit me that over all of time, since this Yom Kippur started, every Yom Kippur, people would look up and see a 10-day-old moon, because we follow the lunar calendar. And that really had a powerful impact on my young ambition to become an astronomer, which I never did, Bill. I never did because I couldn't handle the math. So what I did instead was that I had a secondary career where I tried to enjoy the poets who have written about the night sky, and they are legion. And I've prepared this magic book that I use. And every time I'm on a important radio program like with you or a Zoom session, I always quote something from this magic book.
And that quote of the month will be coming up in a moment. But David, tell me about the night sky in April as we transition now into our spring season.
Yeah, it's getting kind of warm outside, although today is a frightfully windy day. at the end of April, I was trying to think of coming up with an April Fool's joke for you.
But No.
But anyway, the interesting thing about it is that towards the end of this month, around the 21st of April, there will be a meteor shower. And I had a nice conversation with your associate this morning as we were preparing for this. The Lyrids are not the major shower of the year, but they're pretty good. And you can get fireballs, bright fireballs, and meteors. And they'll have a little bit of interference from the moon this year, but we should get a lot of bright meteors around the 21st, 22nd of April.
We'll be looking for that, David. How is the observatory there in Vail, kind of a redo that you're thinking about?
More than thinking about, the people's stellar vision with Frank Lopez have taken over the building. They've torn down the original roof, and they are building a stellar vision roof to go on top of it. It is very heavy, but he assures me that it will open and it will close and that everything will be fine. Certainly, I'm hoping by the beginning of May.
Should be fun. Now, it's the David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show.
In 1965, I was in Montreal talking with Isabel Williamson, the director of the Observing there, and she advised me to read a book that they had just gotten for their library. It was called Starlight Nights, The Adventures of a Stargazer. And she quoted something from it, and she said, "Isn't that beautiful?" And I agree with her, and I still do. He's writing about the comets that he's discovered over the years. He said, he wrote, "I had watched a dozen comets, hitherto unknown, slowly creep across the sky as each one signed its sweeping flourish in the guest book of the sun."
Oh, boy. I like that a lot.
That's a beautiful, beautiful sentiment about the personalities of comets and why they're so important to us.
Very nice. We'll leave it on that note. A wonderful Passover season to you, David. Always a pleasure. My best
Thank
to you and
you,
your lovely wife.
We'll speak with you in May.
We will. We'll be back in May with you, Dr. David Levy. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Take care of yourself and stay safe.
I will hopefully do so. Same to you. Dr. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. The attorney, the consular, is in the house. Don Luce is waiting in our green room. He will be up next on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to talk about what I have called the mask mess in not only Arizona, but this country, and some legal implications of that. We'll be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Joining me in studio, Attorney Don Luce of Luce Law Group, with offices, a beautiful office here in Tucson on River Road. They also have offices in Phoenix. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor, author of two very popular books on Arizona law, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and a book about estate planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. These books are popular, and they're now both in their second printing. Don, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you.
I have in front of me just a stack of stuff concerning this whole, what I refer to is a mask mess in this country. Let's begin with Arizona. The governor made a proclamation last week to, in effect, remove restrictions, COVID restrictions in Arizona. How does that apply to masks?
Well, it applies directly to masks because he specifically states in his executive order that it includes but is not limited to mandated use of face coverings. So I don't know if he went out of his way to include mask in the order, but he specifically referenced mask and mandates that require the wearing of face mask. I pulled a copy of the executive order that was signed on March 25th by Governor Ducey, and it's one of many since March of 2020. And in some ways, it's unprecedented, to use the most popular word of the year. The governor on March 11th of last year, so more than a year ago, issued a declaration of a public health state of emergency due to the necessity to prepare for, prevent, and respond to COVID. So by doing that, by issuing a declaration of a state of public health emergency, he was then able to issue a series of executive orders that limited or restricted or governed people's activities within the state of Arizona. Otherwise, he would not have had that authority. And by issuing a declaration like he did, he's issued a half a dozen or so executive orders in the past year that, in some cases, restrict people's ability to go to gyms and bars. In other cases, restrict people's ability to go to work without wearing face masks because businesses have the legal authority to require face masks. And I think we're all familiar with those rules, because every time a new rule was promulgated, it got a lot of press attention as it deserved. This latest one is essentially an unwinding of all of the previous executive orders that have been issued during the past year. And so, for instance, the governor on March 25th said no county, city, or town, so that would include, of course, Pima County and Tucson, may make or issue any order, rule, or regulation that conflicts with this policy or any other executive order related to COVID-19. And this includes, but is not limited to, the mandated use of face coverings. Any city, town, or county that has a rule, regulation, or ordinance not in place as of March 11th of last year that is in conflict with this provision shall not be enforced. So I want to look at the plain words, shall not be enforced. I think one of the uncertainties is and ambiguities is what is the effect of a county rule requiring the wearing of face masks or a city ordinance requiring the wearing a face mask in light of the governor's executive order saying that a county or city shall not enforce any law, ordinance, or rule that requires the wearing of face mask. You know, and the county, according to published reports, has sought the advice of its attorney, and its attorney has apparently advised that Governor Ducey's executive order in that regard is unenforceable.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, the county is not going to change its policy requiring the wearing of face mask. And I think, as everyone knows, the city of Tucson has a similar policy. Every person, I believe it's over the age of five, in the city of Tucson is required by law to wear a face mask unless mm-hmm. unless there's a health issue involved. Now, interestingly, to my knowledge, no one has yet challenged this legally. No one has gone to the courts and said the state has prohibited the counties and cities from enforcing ordinances or regulations like this, and yet they still have those on their books. Right. Is that legal?
Yes.
And so as law-abiding citizens, Bill, as you and I are, mm-hmm. how do we know what the law is? The governor has said a city cannot force us to wear face masks in public, but yet the city has an ordinance on the books that says you have to wear a face mask in public.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest, and I don't think it's unrealistic to say this, when you have legal ambiguities like that, you're in some ways promoting lawlessness because mm-hmm. people aren't certain what the law really is. Mm-hmm. And that's the nub of the problem right
yes.
there.
And we have the Pima County Administrator, Chuck Huckleberry, will be in the seat you are in right now, Don Luce, tomorrow on the program. And Mr. Huckleberry has acknowledged that neither the city of Tucson nor the county has issued mask citations, but he said that doesn't make them ineffective or irrelevant. What this leaves with the consumer going into a store, it leaves people wondering what the heck is going on. Is it up then to each proprietor to set the rules for their establishment?
The short answer in Arizona is yes, and here's why. The governor ordered on March 25th that the restrictions that had previously been in place regarding organized public events are lifted and will no longer be enforced. Businesses, whether for-profit or nonprofit, institutions, professions, or entities that physically operate in Arizona and serve the public or are employers are encouraged but not required to continue to take actions recommended by the CDC and OSHA.
Key word, encouraged.
Encouraged. Now, what he also did in this executive order is give the businesses the right to institute and enforce policies to mitigate against COVID-19, including the use of face coverings and physical distancing, and to retain the right to refuse service to those who don't comply. So what he said is, as governor, I'm not going to require by executive order that businesses mandate the use of face coverings. I'm going to encourage that they require their employees to wear face coverings, and I'm giving them the legal authority to make that a requirement, and I'm also authorizing them to refuse service to patrons who don't. If that's the policy of the business and a patron refuses to comply, then under this executive order, the business can refuse to service the patron.
Does this put the owner of the business in a very difficult position if they're operating in the city of Tucson or Pima County where there are mask restrictions, but then the state says no, but what does that do from a liability point of view for an owner? Could they be open to liability?
I would suggest that if a business owner were to ask me that question,
yes,
as
yes,
a lawyer,
yes,
I would advise the business owner to require its employees, to the extent that they don't have any medical issues, mm-hmm, to wear masks. And I would also suggest and advise that employer to require any customers or patrons coming onto the business premises to likewise be required to wear face masks. The reason I would give that advice, particularly within the city of Tucson, is because there is ambiguity about whether Tucson's ordinance is enforceable in light of the governor's executive order of last week. Nonetheless, if a business, even if it wasn't doing it illegally, failed to have that type of a policy, and someone was injured or died as a result of contracting COVID on the premises, I think a claimant would have a very compelling argument that that business owner, at the very least, failed to comply with CDC guidelines on the prevention of the spread of COVID-19. Because as we all know, you know, the three things, wearing a mask, social distancing, and washing your hands are, I think, undoubtedly proven scientifically at this point to help prevent the spread of the disease. And if, as an employer, you don't follow those CDC guidelines, I think you're leaving yourself open to potential liability if someone does get sick or someone dies as a result of contracting COVID on your business premises. And I wouldn't want to be in that position either morally or legally.
Mm. It's a very sticky situation. And social distancing, I assume you would also continue, if possible, with those. As we well know, we see the markers when we go into stores. As a business owner, you would just continue that. And plexiglass where they are already at the stations, cashier stations.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I might note, too, Bill,
yes,
that, you know, we've been talking about the state versus the cities and the counties when it comes,
yes,
to the mask mandate. What we haven't talked about is the federal mandate with regard to public transportation, public trains, airports, buses. The federal mandate issued in February by the CDC does require face coverings on public transportation and on planes. The governor of the state of Arizona, or any other state for that matter, has no legal authority to essentially rescind those requirements because of the federal doctrine of preemption. If you have a federal law or regulation concerning a particular subject matter, no state, city, or county can override that with contrary or contradicting ordinances or rules. So federally, you still have to wear face masks, even in the state of Arizona, if you're using public transportation.
All right. Don Luce, author of Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Both books are in their second printing. Thank you very much, Don, for coming in, trying to explain all of this, because it's very confusing.
My pleasure, Bill.
Have a great afternoon.
Thanks.
On behalf of Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey, his popular show on money, is next.